I want you to meet someone from Tarrant, Alabama, by way of Guatemala.
My name is Angelina Baltazar. I'm in 11th grade right now. I'm about to become a senior. I'm happy about that one. Yeah.
Why are you happy?
Well, I'm happy that I'm going to graduate high school. That's my dream since I was little.
But this bright, hardworking student isn't happy about everything at school.
There's a lot of kids that want help, but there's not, you know, enough teachers.
One of those teachers, ESL specialist Ann Pace, agrees.
There just aren't enough ESL teachers to accommodate the amount of children that are coming in right now.
That's the case across much of the nation and the South. Finding qualified ESL or bilingual teachers is not easy. Government support for training, recruiting, and standardizing has been spotty. Ann Pace herself admits to feeling underprepared.
I'm assuming your Spanish is pretty good.
Oh, I'm working on it. The kids teach me a lot.
The teacher pipeline is slow, partly because standards for which students get services and which teachers can teach them vary widely across states and districts. That makes training trickier for universities. But there are commonalities in the South. Every southern state but Texas has an English-only government, which affects school policy directly and indirectly. They tend to favor English immersion over teaching language minorities in their own languages. Alabama's an example.
We don't have bilingual education.
Yep.
We have EL programs, but bilingual education, there's not one school in our state.
Deli Velez-Roberts runs Alabama's English Learner programs. I ask her about the two approaches.
It seems to be that there's a growing body of research showing that bilingual education, some people call dual language, that those approaches are actually more effective.
I'm not really aware of the research that you're talking about.
There are at least three reasons why someone with her job might not know that research. First, she's insanely busy. Alabama has more than 20,000 classified English learners, but she and exactly three trainers travel the state to coach teachers with little experience, but more and more language minority students. Second, there isn't much research on how Southern schools are adapting. And third, it might not matter.
Do you think politics sometimes drives educational policy more than it should?
Well, I mean, I guess I do think it does, because I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't feel comfortable.
I contacted a half dozen Alabama school systems with large Latino populations to see if I could sit in on some ESL classes. Let's just say it never happened. Back in Tarrant, Ann Pace says districts should have the option of trying dual language. I ask her why she thinks Alabama politicians haven't pushed for it.
Maybe because they have never taught in a class. I think maybe they should come visit us and see the struggles, know that a different approach would accommodate these students.
So we've covered some of the challenges in Alabama. Of course, they're not limited to Alabama.
Growing up in the South, you know, there are stigmas.
Talia Palacio is Panamanian and grew up in Memphis. She helps run one of the only dual language schools in Tennessee, a state that also favors English immersion. She describes a historical process other experts told me about, too. In this monolingual society some call a graveyard of languages, stigma leads to families losing their native tongues, which shrinks the pool of bilingual teachers.
It does limit the education cohort or education candidacy because you need to be able to language hop and decode with ease.
It also leads to a surprising source of resistance to bilingual education, immigrant families themselves. You could forgive a hotel worker from rural Honduras for not knowing that learning math in Spanish actually helps kids learn English. But resistance from immigrants and elsewhere is softening as more experts call English immersion, the most common approach, a failure.
Separate but equal has proven to be a disaster. If you do it only for ELL kids, these are the ones that are learning English, they never hear the English from their peers.
Former director of the U.S. Office of English Language Acquisition, Margarita Pincos.
There is enough research if we want to look at it. It's just that, you know, a lot of people don't want to see it.
Whether or not schools implement those findings is more and more important. Ignoring legal duties to educate language minorities, let alone any moral concerns, if our schools are not working for a large part of the population, a large part of the population is not working for everyone else. I'll have more on that tomorrow. For WBHM in Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Dan Carson.